is the smartest AI that was in Russia at a convention, and they fed it pictures of unmanned probes from China on the surface of the moon and said, are these real? It said, absolutely. Then it fed them pictures from the Apollo missions. It said, every single picture is fake. Fake foreground, fake background, fake this, fake that. It's not a theory that they faked the moon landing. They did fake the moon landing.
L'homme est-il allé sur la Lune? C'est une question qui peut faire sourciller, réagir, braquer certains. Moi, j'aime bien écouter tout. S'il y a de la substance, ça m'intéresse. Alors, j'avais écouté un documentaire sur Netflix qui était quand même intéressant, qui ramenait des incohérences importantes. J'en suis venue à me dire peut-être que le film qu'on a vu est faux, mais que l'homme est quand même allé sur la Lune. Bref, j'aime bien écouter et j'ai entendu pour la première fois Bart Sibrel parler à Joe Rogan. Il avait fait ce livre ici qui s'appelle « Le Moon Man ». Il a fait des décennies de recherches. C'est donc une des voix les plus fortes. Quand on écoute ceux qui essaient de dire que l'homme n'est jamais allé sur la Lune et que les missions Apollo sont une fraude, un canular de toutes pièces. Et donc, j'avais envie d'écouter ces arguments, surtout qu'à l'automne dernier, on parlait beaucoup de ça. On parlait de Jeremy Filosa, qui était à la radio, qui a perdu son emploi pour avoir dit qu'il doutait que l'homme avait véritablement marché sur la Lune. Alors, je me suis dit, pourquoi pas écouter c'est quoi les arguments qui peuvent faire en sorte qu'on revoie un peu notre opinion qu'on a de l'histoire par rapport à ça. Et j'ai invité donc une des voix les plus importantes et les plus crédibles dans la matière de cette théorie que l'homme ne serait jamais allé sur la Lune. Bart Sibrel, welcome here on my podcast. Thanks for accepting my invitation.
Sure, Eloise, how are you?
I'm good, yourself?
Yeah,
I never do my interviews at night. So, you know, I have two young kids and usually I get super tired. So my English might be a little weird or rusty, but I'm going to do my very best to be clear and so you can understand me. So you are, I heard you, first time I heard you was on Joe Rogan. You are one of the most outspoken voices regarding the moon landing hoax theory. So you just, I just read this book. It's your most recent one. Highly recommend. I don't think it's been translated to French, you know? I think it's only English, right?
Yeah, but there's a French version of the film, A Funny Thing Absolutely. Happened on the Way to the Moon, that is entirely translated into French.
Yeah, so this is your most, I guess, this documentary is older. So I think 20 years older. It's called Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. And it got translated. I watched. It's really interesting. I will put all the links in the description so you guys can definitely watch this in French and in English also, of course. So when I contacted you, this was a few weeks ago, and it was, we were in the middle of this craziness going on here in Quebec. We had this radio host, his name is Jeremy Filosa, and he got suspended from a very big radio station here in Montreal because he said he no longer believed that the man had walked on the moon. This was outrageous. And he got suspended, and afterwards, he got his job back, but not completely back. He's not allowed to have a microphone anymore. So he's only allowed to do research for 1 year. And he has to go through a rehabilitation program where he will have to follow some classes in order to remember what it's like to be a journalist, because obviously he forgot. So I guess being a journalist is not about asking questions and being curious and open-minded. And he will get back his radio host job only depending on how he does on this 1 year journey of rehab. I would like to hear your thoughts about this.
Well, here they are. It's not a theory that they faked the moon landing. They did fake the moon landing. So let's just, you know, prove that point first. And then once you realize that is true, then we'll tackle that situation because it's upside down to reality. Today, with 55 years better rockets and computers, the farthest that NASA can send an astronaut into outer space is 1,000th the distance to the moon. Mm-hmm. So what they're really claiming is back with 1960s technology, before microwave ovens, before cell phones, when all of NASA's computers combined had 1,000,000th the computing power of a cell phone, They sent astronauts on the first attempt ahead of schedule, 1,000 times farther into space than they can do today with 50 years better technology. So we just proved right there that the moon landings are fake, because it's impossible to have greater technology in the past than in the future. It's only that this is a pleasing lie. Whoever killed Kennedy, he's still dead. Whoever did 9/11, they're still dead. This is different. This is a positive lie. And it's not a theory that they faked it. We have four times the proof. We have an eyewitness who saw them fake it at Cannon Air Force Base. We have classified footage of them faking being beyond Earth orbit right in front of your eyes with the CIA telling them how to do it. And we have simple photographs of shadows intersecting at 90 degrees from objects 5 feet apart, where if they were really photographed in sunlight, the shadows would be parallel and never intersect. You see, so now that it's a fact that they faked the moon landing, let's talk about that issue. So what we have here is a guy who allegedly is a journalist, and apparently he actually is a journalist, but he's being rebuked for being one. He's rebuked, he's fired for telling the truth. You see that? He keeps his job if he propagates lies. Then he has to go to school to be told what a journalist is, which is to propagate lies of the government. That gives him a pass to have a mic. His microphone is taken away for telling the truth, and he has to go back to school to be retold what a journalist should do in modern society, which is to lie to the public according to the dictates of the government. I mean, it just boggles the mind that this is what is going on and that our world is completely upside down. Now, why is it that way? Maybe there's a spiritual battle going on between good and evil. I mean, all we have to do is look around. There's wars in the United States, 94% of their history. Yeah. We have rape and murder, child molestation, robbery going on continually and only at increasing rates. So it seems like there's a battle between good and evil. And it seems like, you know, they used to say the cream rises to the top. Well, in world society, the manure rises to the top. And the people who run almost every country of the world are a bunch of lying murderers and embezzlers. Because according to people I interviewed for a total of 7 hours, who are relatives of deceased Apollo astronauts, their husband and father was murdered by the CIA for not cooperating with fraud in the Apollo program. That's their opinion, not mine. So our governments are taking our money, using that to construct deceptions, and then using that to pay the salaries of government agents to murder people who try to expose it. That's what's going on in the world. And the idea that a person trying to bring that deception to people's attention is rebuked for bringing out the truth only shows you how backwards society has become. So there's my answer to your question.
Well, thanks for that. And we'll get back in great details about the proofs that would explain why, in your opinion, and more people opinions, that this is a fake moon landing. But I think we've seen a lot of that in the past 4 years, almost five now, with the so-called pandemic, where we've seen a lot of people losing their jobs for just, you know, relaying news that would say, example, that, you know, the shot would be, could be lethal or have, you know, dangerous impacts on your health. So we've seen a lot of that in Quebec. I have more than one examples coming to mind that people, famous journalists who lost their jobs for asking questions. So this was really disturbing to me. It's not what democracy is. And you are very outspoken in your book. And in the first chapters, you explain why you think that there is like a big problem with this specific lie, the moon landing, because it's more than just one lie. It shows how the government is corrupt, just like you just said. And then it should bring us to realize that we are being lied to on a regular basis by people that not necessarily want are good. And as you just mentioned, I like the idea of the spiritual war. You seem to be a man that believes in God. You talk about that in your book as well. So I would like to hear, just before we really get into details, we've been just through a lot and with the elections. We've followed this quite a lot here. People are having a heart attack because Trump got elected. I'm not one of those people who have a heart attack. I think it brings hope. I'd be curious to hear, do you think that under Trump, there is more odds that we will find out the truth about these lies?
Well, let me start by saying I don't vote. I removed myself from the voter registration because I found that to be a fraud. Yeah. Just ask Bernie Sanders or Ron Paul if an outsider can make their way to the top. Both parties are highly corrupt. Mm-hmm. And that's the way the powers that be want it to be. They want us to fight each other so that we won't go after them at the top. Now, fire ants just, you know, explode in population and just take over everywhere they go. And that's what has happened to the government of the United States and Canada and practically every government of the world. The evil people have entrenched themselves, and people have made a god at a government. And one of the links at Sabrell.com is a 1960s film of the national anthem that was shown on broadcast television when stations went off the air at 1 a.m. And it showed, you know, the Lincoln Memorial and the Statue of Liberty while playing the national anthem. And the words were at the bottom. And as they transitioned through a Venetian blind type of effect, it said, "Worship government. Don't rebel." Literally, visually, they're undeniable. This is the hypnotizing effect that people have. And whether, you know, Trump or Biden is good or bad, I pray for the well-being and good decisions of all leaders. Now, as a journalist for many years, it seems odd to me that the media has attacked Trump at everything that he says. If he says we had 10,000 people at my rally, they'll say no, 999,999 or whatever. And if he says the sky is blue, they'll say no, it's aqua. And I've never seen media attack people. Now, according to Woodward and Bernstein in 1974, they found a CIA document back when it was regulated that a person could only own one radio and TV station, that 400 journalists were on the CIA payroll. And they were at every newspaper, every radio station, every TV station that was of a national jurisdiction. So we are being manipulated by that. Now, in Trump's particular case, let me say that it's my opinion and many others that the CIA basically records everything. They record every email, every phone conversation, every text. They don't monitor it. But if somebody, let's say you wanted to run for president 10, 20 years from now, they might pull up a text from 10 years ago and say, "Oh, look, this is the time you smoked pot," or whatever. Just not saying you did, but, you know, for example. So all of the dirt on Trump that they bring up is probably true. Every, you know, indiscretion he made, whether it's with a woman or with drugs or financially, I'm sure all those things are true. The issue is they don't bring those up about the corrupt people they bring into government. They only bring it up against people they don't like. Now, why do they not like him? Well, he appears to be sincere about wanting to end corruption. The people who run the government are corrupt. Kennedy said, "I want to get rid of the CIA."
And CIA got rid of him.
A few weeks later, he was dead. According to his own relatives, who have more access to the JFK files than Oliver Stone does, he was murdered by the CIA. They're 100% certain of that. According to Robert McNamara, defense secretary during the Vietnam War, that the public was entirely against, they made up an attack of a Vietnamese ship. And on American ship, Congress passed a law based on a fabrication of the CIA that led to the death of a million people, including 58,220 of their own people. So we have to see that if they're willing to kill their own president, willing to kill their own soldiers without reason, they're not going to have a problem faking a video image of the moon. And so Trump could bring out the truth. Now, he pledged in 2016 that he was going to release the JFK files, and he failed to do so.
He didn't.
I believe they they blackmailed him. They said, oh, feel free. And we got this videotape of you with the 16-year-old on Epstein's Island, or words to that effect. He promised to do it again. He didn't keep his promise the first time. I don't have high hopes. But they could release who shot JFK, but it compares with nothing to the moon landing fraud being exposed. Two NBC news directors agreed that the footage I uncovered of the crew of Apollo 11 faking being halfway to the moon proves with 100% certainty that they did fake the moon landing. Mm-hmm. The NBC news director feared that it would cause enormous civil unrest if the public found out that they were duped about the moon landing, because it's burned into their heart. So Trump could expose the moon landing fraud to get the public, both Republican and Democrat, on his side, because the evil people, when they want to unite both parties to do their wars or their viruses or their terrorist attack responses, they do it with big lies. So why not have the good guys, if they are good, mm-hmm. unite both parties with a big truth? And the biggest right. truth is they did fake the moon landing. And according to the NBC news director, who was told by the government not to broadcast the footage I uncovered that proved it, it would tear down the corrupt system in Washington, D.C. So that would be something that Trump could do to get everyone on his side and to say, look, see. Yeah. And we would have people like Bill Maurer saying, give the guy a chance, you know.
That would prove his intentions if he does. As you just said, I was extremely disappointed that he did not declassify the FISA, the JFK FISA. But a lot of FISA have been declassified throughout the years. And we know almost for a fact that CIA is involved, at least in covering up something. I've had Oliver Stone on my podcast, and he was saying, it's not going to be admitted in... I asked him, do you think at some point the history will be rewritten and that we will all agree to say that the CIA was involved in JFK's assassination? And his answer was, it's not going to happen, because that would, as you just said, tear down the whole government. People would lose their faith in the government. But I also think, and that's something that this NBC producer didn't think about, is the cognitive dissonance that makes people don't want to accept a fact, even though it's right in front of them. And you've experienced this when you talk about your facts about, you know, the moon landing. You have a lot of people who, even someone you say in your book, someone who told you, even if I would hear Neil Armstrong saying I didn't go to the moon, I would not believe him. So sometimes I wonder, what's it going to take for people to accept that they've been deceived on some topics, at least in history? Do you have hope that people are ready to accept it?
Well, people are always ready for the truth. One thing that I realized just recently, a couple of days ago, there's a famous saying, the truth will make you free. Yeah. So if the truth makes us free, then lies enslave us. You see mm-hmm. that? And mm-hmm. if they release two shot JFK, but people still believe the moon landing lie, then we're still enslaved. There's a fear, even among honest people, if they release that truth, it will be so shocking that we better not. No, then you're complicit with it. You have to tell the truth. And it's not so much that the system will fall apart. That's not really what's going to happen. What's going to happen is we're going to have a new system, right? We're going to have, you know, it's like you have a junky car and you keep, you know, it's drinking 3 quarts of oil a week, and you want to keep living that way. And what's going on also is that people are driving their cars, in a sense, their government, with no brakes. Now, wouldn't you want to know if your car that you're carrying your children in, that there had no brakes? Wouldn't you want to know that? Mm-hmm. And so if the government is faking the moon landing, wouldn't you want to know that? And people do want to know that. And if the president, you know, forces the truth out, forces a confession, documents to be released or whatever, yeah, the old junk car will be thrown away. But that's a good thing. It's not like we won't have any car. We'll get a new, better car. We need to rewrite the monopoly rules. If you go to Sobrel.com and get the book and see all this proof, the last chapter is suggestions on how to rewrite rules for government so that things like this don't happen again. One mm-hmm. idea is to nominate the Congress or the Senate, and probably only need one House, by lottery. A jury is chosen by lottery. They right. decide life or death in a capital case. So I think they are qualified to decide whether to put a label that says contains GMOs on a bottle of ketchup. So right. why not elect all of our representatives by lottery? A few minimum requirements, at least 25 years old, no felonies in the last 7 years, mm-hmm. something like that. And then they serve one term, maybe 5 years. And then those 400 in America, 435 people, nominate 5 people for president of the United States. So technically, there aren't these evil elite people boasting themselves through their corrupt political parties. The presidency comes from a pool of several hundred people that are nominated, maybe 5. They hold a debate, narrow it down to 3, narrow it down to 2 by popular vote. And then that's how we get our president. And we have true representation because 90% of Americans wanted GMO labeling, right? Mm, the president right. vetoed it. Well, I thought we had a democracy. No, we have one person mm-hmm. deciding not to pass a law that 90% of Americans want. That's right, not a democracy.
They're friends.
Yeah. And it's not yeah. a democracy when Bernie no. Sanders gets twice as many votes as Hillary Clinton does, but she gets twice as many delegates. That's not a democracy either. And it's not a democracy when Ron Paul and the other party is winning straw polls, winning primaries, and the news media acts like he's losing. In fact, tries to trick people into thinking that he's losing to abandon his campaign. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what's going on. There is no democracy. The democracy is as real as the moon landings, right?
Right. Let's get into this. If you had to bring the hardcore arguments that make you say that the moon landings are fake, what would there be?
Well, we can prove it logically without opening a book, without looking at one photograph or video footage, okay? It's never happened in the entire history of the world that technology was greater than the past and in the future. That's a historic and scientific impossibility. For example, right. Lindbergh flew across the Atlantic in 1927. Okay. I don't know how far that was, maybe 3,000 miles. Okay. Imagine 50 years later, instead of being able to travel 3,000 miles, the farthest that an airplane can travel is 3 miles. 1,000th the distance. And nobody in 50 years is able to fly across the Atlantic. And airplane technology can only travel 1,000th as far 50 mm-hmm. years later. You would say that's absurd because 50 right. years later, you had 747s and millions of aircraft flying across the Atlantic that were 1,000 times more complicated. Do you understand? The atomic bomb. Let's look at that example. It was first exploded, I believe, in 1945, and just 10 years later, atomic bombs were 1,000 times more explosive. So if they could go to the moon on the first attempt with 1 millionth the computing power of a cell phone, we would have been on Mars 10 years later. We'd be in another solar system by now, and there'd be bases all over the moon. Today, with 5 decades better technology, the farthest they can send an astronaut into space is only 1,000th the distance to the moon. Somehow they can drive cars and play golf leisurely on the moon with 1960s technology, but today the best they can do is have mannequins orbit the moon.
So what people would answer,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
So the people who are debunking this, for what I understood is that they say that people lost interest and they stopped investing so much money in the program. What do you say to that?
They're making excuses. I mean, that's like a person who's got a sharp lawyer and they're 100% guilty. Pick a famous case in the last 30 years where afterwards his own lawyer said the guy was guilty. And no matter what evidence they had some excuse why it wasn't evidence at all when it was. Come on, it's never happened in the history of the world that a technology didn't improve over time. The cutting edge of all technology is space travel. So that's the greatest interest, not the least interest. What do you say? We don't have interest anymore? No, that's the greatest interest. Otherwise, Elon Musk wouldn't be building rockets with all of his energy and money. Isn't that his number one goal, is space? Hasn't space travel and space technology always been the forefront of human achievement? So why is it that 50 years later, it's only 1,000th as powerful? Because it was a forgery. That's why. Right. We just proved with logic that the moon landings are fake.
And no other countries have been on the moon. So even though there was this race with Russia or China, they've never been on the moon.
No. China is the most industrialized nation on Earth, probably 500% more industrialized, probably more than the United States. And they say with 50 years better technology, it's going to take 15 years to put a man on the moon. Okay, so with 50 years older technology, it only took half the time, really? Mm-hmm. And then Russia launched the first satellite, the first animal, the first man, the first woman, the first spacewalk, the first crew of three. For every 10 hours the U.S. spent in space, they spent 50 hours. And they never went to the moon, right? And in fact, another little proof is the smartest AI that was in Russia at a convention, Google brought in their neural network, this not available to the public AI system of multiple AIs hooked up together, and they let people play with it for 3 days about a year ago. And one team had it write a novel, another team had it compose a symphony, and another team took advantage of its deep fake detector program that has never been wrong. And they fed it pictures of unmanned probes from China on the surface of the moon and said, are these real? It said, absolutely. Then it fed them pictures from the Apollo missions. It said, every single picture is fake. Fake foreground, fake background, fake this, fake that. This just came out. The smartest AI in the world just said the moon landings are fake. What's their excuse for that? Especially that, when that, they say the unmanned probe pictures from China are real. I mean, come on.
I didn't see the pictures from the Chinese pictures, but the Chinese mission that was unmanned, but do you notice if there are stars on those pictures?
There aren't any, but that's because the aperture is almost all the way closed, because the sunlight on the moon is 20 times brighter than that on Earth. If you want to see all the proof that you need that the moon landings are fake, go to Sabrell.com, or you can insert the picture, you know, in post after I describe it, but we have a picture I could hit screen share of shadows intersecting at 90 degrees from objects 5 feet apart. We just proved in a court of law, you know, because let's just say you're showing the picture now, on the left-hand side, you'll see shadows in sunlight are always parallel. It's impossible for them to intersect because the sun is a million times bigger than Earth, and it would cast shadows on the same direction over an entire continent or a moon. And then on the right is a picture they claim was taken on the moon, where an astronaut shadow is going at 12 o'clock and a rock 5 feet away is going at 9 o'clock. That's 90 degrees difference. That light, whatever's lighting this, is extremely close, because if you stand on one side of it, the shadow is going to go one direction. And if you stand away from it, it's going to go in a completely different direction. That proves it in a court of law that the moon landings are fake. And then we have this footage of them faking being halfway to the moon, which you can see on the homepage of Sabrell.com, that even my critics agree is them faking being halfway to the moon. Two NBC news directors agree. It proves they did not go to the moon. It's over.
I have a lot of questions on what you just said, but just regarding the stars. So in your opinion, the fact that we did not see stars in the Apollo 11 mission is normal. That's not an anomaly.
It's half normal. Okay. Mm. It's half normal in that you would have the aperture closed because of the brightness. However, if you were really there, you would have pointed the camera up at the sky, opened the aperture and taken pictures of the stars, which they never did for some reason. They brought a car to the moon, which is dumb, because you would never drive away. And what if the car broke down? You wouldn't have enough oxygen to walk back. So that's completely illogical. Why didn't they bring a telescope? Because they can't fake the astrological position of the constellations with the rotating of the Earth, with the rotating of the moon. They couldn't do that. So they didn't show it. And they tried not to talk about it. And the press conference, when he was asked, how was the, you know, visual of the stars? He says, I don't remember.
Which is completely impossible.
I mean, come on. If you go just, you know, 20 miles into, you know, the countryside at night, it's like super bright. Imagine how great the stars would look on the surface of the moon. That's why they never talked about it. They never showed it.
And that's why also the journalist was so excited asking the question, because he expected some kind of amazing answer. How were the stars? And then you have Neil Armstrong. I think it's Neil who says, like, oh, I don't remember. And it seems fishy. That's the least I can say. This is fishy.
Well, that to me, that's, you know, incidental evidence, just like the fact that they destroyed all the equipment, all the diagrams, all the blueprints, all the original videotapes, all the original telemetry data where the rocket really was. They intentionally destroyed all of it.
They intentionally destroyed. So it's a common knowledge. Everybody knows this. It has been destroyed.
Yeah, go to Sobral.com. My book is interactive. One of the links, I basically write a chapter in the book, which is audio, Kindle, or print. Hey, I'm going to, you know, describe something, go to Sobral.com, look at link one, link two, and so forth. One of the clips is NASA saying on camera, we destroyed all the technology. Now, come on. If there was ever going to be a technology that you might consider destroying, that would be the atomic bomb. Okay, we used it to end World War II, but we don't want that genie out of the bottle anymore. Let's just destroy everything. Did they do that? No. 1,000 times more powerful 10 years later. So what technology that cost in today's dollars almost $250 billion? They would never do that if they really went, but that's exactly what they would do if they perpetrated a fraud. So that's proof we didn't go, because they destroyed everything, which is exactly what you do if they did not go. Because you could later prove the rocket didn't have enough fuel to leave Earth orbit. We have clips at Sobral.com that say that. Von Braun says it doesn't have enough fuel to leave Earth orbit in his original presentation. Elon Musk says his biggest rocket, which is bigger than the Saturn V rocket, it's going to take 8 fuel trips to a space station first, and then from there, go to the moon. Then the Saturn V didn't do that. And we have Von Braun saying on camera, the biggest rocket can only go into Earth orbit. That's why they destroyed all the diagrams, because it could be proven that it couldn't leave Earth orbit. That's why they destroyed all the original videotapes, because if you transfer them to HD, then you can see the fake background. So they destroyed them. All the telemetry data where the rocket really was, they destroyed that too. Why would they do that if they really went? But that's exactly what they would do to cover up a fraud.
Right. In your book, you talk about your personal journey when you started investigating. It happened many years ago. This has been quite a life journey for you now, and you talk about some things that might seem, for someone who is skeptical, that might seem far-fetched. And I was wondering two things. Why did you decide to share your personal story, and do you have sort of witnesses or proof that would, for example, you say that you were kidnapped by, I think, CIA agent. Do you have, you know, proof? Do you have scars when you try to escape with the barbed wire fence? I'm curious yet to hear you about that.
Well, that happened about 20 years ago, and that's described in my book under the chapter, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to CNN. I was the biggest fan of the moon missions. I was gaga over it. I thought it was glorious. I had Apollo pictures on my wall. And wherever I moved, I had a shrine to men on the moon. But I also had an open mind. When I met somebody at NASA who said it was fake because they couldn't go, I'm like, oh, never thought about that. Let me look at these pictures again. And a filmmaker's job, which is my career, is to make fake scenes look real. And when I start looking at them with an open mind, I'm like, oh, that's a fake background. Oh, that's electrical lighting. I can tell even what kind of light it is. So I start producing this film under the theory it might be true that they faked it. And a millionaire who builds rockets for NASA gave me the money, who knows that it's fake. And 3.5 years into the 7-year project, I was given classified footage that says do not show to the public at the beginning of it. And they're faking being halfway to the moon right in front of your eyes with a 1-foot model of the Earth dated 2 days into the flight with the astronauts on camera and a third track of audio of the CIA telling them to fake a 4-second radio delay. And I'm like, okay. Oh, my gosh. They Can really I just did make the moon landing.
I need to talk about this specific clip because I think it's very, very important. Actually, it's a film that was sent to you by the NASA. And it's a very important document in believing in the fake moon landing. And I would like to hear, how on earth do you think this happened to get on your desk? You talk about it in your book.
Well, my source at NASA, who told me it was fake, believes a whistleblower sent it to me. I was very thorough. I figured if they faked the moon landing, they're more likely to have made a mistake the first time they faked it, because they never faked it before. And so I meticulously went through everything. I even personally visited the archives in a vault. And I said, can I please have a photograph, you know, most famous man in the world, first man to walk on the moon, Neil Armstrong. Can I please have one photograph of him standing on the surface of the moon? And there aren't any. He refused to have his picture taken. People don't realize this. And so the video image was a double. He wasn't even in the spacesuit. And so this is what convinced me that they didn't go to the moon. It's what convinced two NBC news directors. They're faking being halfway to the moon. There's nothing more to say. I just showed it. I can't say who, because it hasn't been uploaded yet, but a pretty famous podcaster. They're gasping in horror, just like I did. When you see this footage, you're like, they really did fake the moon landing. And then you have the CIA telling them not to answer NASA right away because it would give away the fact that they're close to the Earth. And they're prompted with talk after a fake 4-second radio delay. The lights come up. It's a 1-foot model of the Earth. They're faking being halfway to the moon from Earth orbit, which means they can't leave Earth orbit. And what a surprise, 55 years later, they still cannot leave Earth orbit because of deadly radiation. That's why probes can go to the moon, but not people. And why mannequins are orbiting the moon instead of people, because of deadly radiation. And one of the clips is Sobrel.com. You can insert it. Is their own engineer saying that technology to go through the radiation to the moon and back and survive has not been invented yet. We must solve these challenges before we send people through this region of space, which means they can't go to the moon. So if they can't go to the moon today, how could they do it in 1969?
I agree. This is weird to hear him say that. I think his name is Don Pettit from NASA.
No, that's the astronaut who said that they destroyed everything. Kelly Smith. And so back to your original question, I find this tape in July of 1999 and I freak out. I'm like, oh my gosh, they really did fake the moon landing. Oh my gosh. I have proof they faked the moon landing in my house with a toddler son and a blind roommate. What have I done? I am in deep trouble. And so I rush the tape to CNN. I'm followed along the way. They zap my car. I'm literally being chased on foot. I finally make my way, hiring a cab to drive me from Nashville to Atlanta. I'm at the back alley to give the tape to a reporter friend of mine. I'm surrounded by government agents who handcuff me, take the tapes, and drug me with what I presume is truth serum to the point of vomiting. They have a clipboard out. They're asking me all these questions. I tell them whatever they want to know. I'm in la-la land. I escape their custody. I make my way back to Nashville, and I tell the NBC news director, I got him. I got him. I pee in a cup. And I have a friend bring it to a lab in his name. I say, I'm going to prove that I was illegally drugged and with some exotic drug that only the CIA would have. And find out later the lab was broken into and the only thing stolen was my urine sample. So all these encounters,
and it was under your friend's name.
What's that?
It was under your friend's name, the urine
Correct.
Sample.
I'm trying to outwit the CIA. So I didn't want to, we didn't talk about it over the phone. I gave it to him in person. I told him to put it in a lab in his name, but apparently they were monitoring those conversations somehow. Right. Outside laser microphones or something.
So you don't
like
have any proof that this actually that you were drugged or that this actually happened?
Well, I mean, you talked about scars. I looked like I had been flogged for at least 6 weeks. I mean, I didn't notice it at the time, but they're like, what happened to you? Scars all over my face, all over my arms. And who knows, if I hadn't escaped, what would have happened to me? I probably would have ended up dead on a train track. They would have blamed it, on a train hitting me or something. I don't know. Right. But you have to understand, what's his name? Ralph Nader. Okay. he wrote a book called Unsafe at Any Speed. And he found out that General Motors, I think that the guy's name was Roche, the CEO, that they knew that if they put airbags in cars, it would save 10,000 lives a year. But it would cost $200 per car, and they didn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. So Ralph Nader was trying to expose this to Congress. So the CEO of GM confessed in front of Congress. He hired FBI agents to track him, follow him, harass him, and trap him with prostitutes, harass him, discredit him, drug him, whatever they could do to discredit Ralph Nader, just to not put airbags in cars. Imagine what they would do to prevent the embarrassment of the moon landing fraud coming out that two NBC news directors agreed, the tape that they confiscated, which wasn't the original, that they, you know, would do to keep this a secret. They're still doing it now. It came out about 2 years ago, maybe a year ago, that the former space director in Russia in his retirement said, look, they didn't go to the moon. The Americans did not go to the moon. The next day, Fox News calls me up and says, we're going to do this, you know, this guy is making the rounds. You know, we need to put out this fire. So we're going to do an hour-long special on the moon landing fraud. But just to let you know, Mr. Sobrell, we haven't read your book. We haven't seen the footage. And it doesn't matter. Regardless of, you can have all the proof in the world that the moon landings are fake. The program will conclude that it's real to reassure the public. That's Fox News. That's supposed to be anti-corruption. And they say during this hour-long special, they point out there's some Russian scientist from 1969 who said congratulations, and their statement was, see, the Russians think we went to the moon. What about 6 weeks earlier when the former Russian space director said it was fake? That they didn't put in there. So Fox News is not your friend. Otherwise, they wouldn't have fired Tucker Carlson, who got 100 million views for every program he did, right?
Right. Yeah, and I think it's pretty obvious that the mainstream media is not there to tell you the truth. This is not their mission. Maybe it was.
Their mission is the exact opposite, because they told me their mission was to reassure the public of the lie because the truth was too embarrassing to the federal government. Just like the guy in Canada was fired for telling the truth, but if you keep lying, we'll give you a raise.
Yes. And the problem is that it was just voicing a doubt at this point. Voicing a doubt shouldn't be that much of a problem in a free country, but I guess we're not in a free country anymore. This is the proof that we got by that.
Well, yeah, it's Nazi Germany in Canada. It's Nazi Germany in America. It's Nazi Germany again in Germany, right?
Yeah. We're not allowed to say it feels like
everybody
that.
Everybody in Germany knows that the United States is the one who blew up their pipeline that has caused their economy to collapse. Do they complain to the U.S.? Do they complain on the public stage? The U.S. did this. They need to reimburse us. No, they're so afraid of the United States or in bed with them, with the corrupt people who run the government. They act like, you know, it's no big deal that their economy is being completely ruined by an act of war that the United States did without Congress approving it.
You've been talking about the Van Allen radiation belts. To me, it was like a new thing in my life this year. That was the first time I heard about those radiation belts. They seem to be a big deal. So I've been trying to, you know, doing my research for this interview. I've been trying to hear what people had to answer the fact that they're deadly. And some people say that they are not deadly. In fact, that the radiation that the astronauts went through was similar to a Pelvian scan. I would like to hear what you answer to those who say that the radiation belts are really not that lethal.
Well, you know what their proof is that they're not lethal? The Apollo astronauts went through them to the moon and back. See?
Okay.
You know, Von Braun says, and the clip is at Sobrell.com in one of the book clips, he says it's 100 times a lethal dose. He says it publicly on video. He says it in a Scientific American journal, which we cite. He says it's approximately 100 times a lethal dose. We have on camera, just from a few years ago, Kelly Smith of NASA saying the technology to go through the radiation and have an astronaut survive has not been invented yet. These people are making excuses, grasping at straws, because if they are deadly, it means they didn't go to the moon. So they have to find a way that they're perfectly fine, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. When you get a dental x-ray that lasts 1/24th of a second, you have 1/8 of an inch, or I'm sorry, 1/4 inch of lead over your private parts, in case you want to have children someday. They would be in radiation that would be 1,000 times more potent than that for an hour to an hour and a half going there and an hour to an hour and a half coming back. It's deadly. I mean, what more can you say? We have Von Braun saying in writing, it's impossible to go to the moon in one rocket. It would take at least three, and each one would have to weigh 800,000 tons. The Saturn V was only 2,500 tons. It's a difference of 30,000% times three rockets. So why does Elon Musk need 8 trips to go to the moon with better technology? And somehow with 1960s, less efficient technology, they did it in one trip. I mean, people just need to wake up and smell the manure. They keep defending Santa Claus. You know, it's magic.
Yeah, well, in the clip I was watching on YouTube, the person was saying that they had somehow found a way to calculate it. So do you know what the calculations are based on when they do those math?
People are making stuff up in their own imaginations. NASA says, in their own video, go to Sobrel.com, look at the free clips at the top. NASA's engineer says, first he says it's deadly radiation, so deadly, they're sending an unmanned spacecraft into it with Geiger counters. Well, if people were going through it 6 times to the moon and back and 2 more times to orbit the moon, allegedly, which they never did, they would have those readings already. So why do they need to send up Geiger counters 50 years later to find out how much radiation is in there if humans can go through it to the moon and back and survive with no problem? Because these guys have lived into their 90s, right? They wouldn't even have a need to send up Geiger counters in there because it's perfectly harmless, right? What would be the point? And so I asked NASA, give me those Geiger counter readings. It's a civilian project. I paid for it. Give me those readings. They said it's classified. And I'm like, well, why is that? Why would the temperature of the sun be classified? Why would the amount of helium in Jupiter's atmosphere be classified? Why would the amount of radiation in a part of nature surrounding the Earth be classified? Because it would prove they didn't go to the moon. He said,
they don't have it.
We must solve these radiation challenges before we send people through this region of space, meaning they haven't solved it yet, and they need to do this first before people can go to the moon. Another clip at Sobrel.com is in a space shuttle astronaut saying, the farthest that we can go is Earth orbit, and we hope to eventually go to the moon. Do you realize there's a clip of this UFO, you know, discussion a couple of days ago in front of Congress, and one of the congressmen says we need to beat China to the moon. I thought we already did that 55 years ago.
So there's the race is back.
Really? Wow. Because they didn't go. And again, if Trump really wants to bring down the deep state, if he really wants to have the Democrats support him, make them angry. Show the public how much they have been duped. They have been duped, they have been robbed, and their fellow citizens have been murdered to cover it up. Not my opinion, that's the opinion of the dead man's relatives. Murdered by the CIA, Apollo astronauts. Does anybody care that's going on? And then you have naive people defending their own murderers, right?
Can you tell us more about, I know you go in details in your book, but for those who are not familiar with this murder you're talking about, can you briefly explain who has been murdered and why?
Yeah, Neil Armstrong wasn't going to be the first man to walk on the moon. It was originally a gentleman by the name of Virgil Grissom. He was the most beloved astronaut in the program because he had a problem with his Mercury capsule when it splashed down. The explosive bolts were triggered, and the capsule started sinking to the bottom of the ocean. And when someone asked him, you know, were you afraid? He says, of course I was afraid. And then he went on to say, and I made a kind of a bad mistake. My son wanted to give out nickels that had been in outer space. So I had this extra weight of all these bank rolls of nickels in my pocket to say, you know, this is a souvenir for the kids. And when I started sinking all the more faster, realized that wasn't a good idea. So the public just loved the guy for his honesty. They chose him to be the first man to walk on the moon, Apollo 1. Mm-hmm. And he says, we're 10 years away from going to the moon. He was a pilot. He's like, you know, trust me, this equipment isn't working. They couldn't get a wired intercom to work between two buildings. He says, how are we going to go to the moon if we can't get a wired intercom to work between two buildings? There's a clip on the homepage of Sobrel.com in a funny thing happened on the way to the moon. The narrator doesn't even bring attention to it. But there's a rehearsal of them, you know, picking up the first lunar rock with a pole with a bag on the end of it in front of reporters, and the bag breaks off the end of the pole. They can't get that to work. How are they going to get fuel systems and batteries and radiation protection and oxygen and all that to work ahead of schedule? It's just impossible to do. So I don't know what more to say. If people have an open mind, they can go and see all these clips for free at my website, and they'll know the shocking truth that they faked it.
There's a lot of great information on your website. I highly recommend going on Sobrel.com. You are going to explain how this guy got murdered?
Oh, yeah. So on January 27th, 1967, he was murdered, according to his wife, who I interviewed for 4 hours, and his son, who I interviewed for 3 hours. He was preparing multiple reports to give to his congressman, and days before he had offended the people at the Pentagon because he took a bunch of reporters to the top of the rocket without permission, where he affixed a lemon the size of a grapefruit and said, this thing is a piece of junk. It's a lemon. He would not cooperate with the moon landing fraud. I talked to his widow, who said on January 26, 1967, he came home from work and said, hon, for some strange reason, the CIA is all over the launch pad, flashing their credentials and inspecting the equipment. I've never seen the CIA here before in 3 years. Why did they show up today? The very next day, he's dead from faulty equipment. The CIA comes and confiscates all his congressional reports criticizing the program. Moments later, without even informing his widow that he had died and just left. Okay, so our country was founded by the Declaration of Independence, which says when any government becomes destructive of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. We have the right to get rid of, reform, rearrange the federal government if they become destructive of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, life. The taxpayers paid for the salaries of the CIA agents who murdered Virgil Grissom, Ed White, and Roger Chaffee for not cooperating with the moon landing fraud. So right there, that's enough to get rid of the federal government, because this is their problem. They didn't just fake the moon landing and not kill anybody. They faked it and murdered people to cover it up. So if the truth about the moon landing fraud comes out, the very next thing they're going to have to investigate is the Apollo 1 homicides, among other homicides. And as you know from the book, we have an eyewitness who saw them film the fake moon landing at Cannon Air Force Base, June 1st, 2nd, 3rd of 1968. And not in the book, because his son was still alive, and I agreed to mention it after he died, and his son is now deceased. His father, as he's dying, wanting to get right with God, says he killed somebody. And his son is like, who? He said, well, a co-worker at Cannon Air Force Base. His son brings in the military police to investigate, to give the family of the victim closure. They ask him, why did you kill him? He said, to cover up the moon landing fraud, because he thought it was wrong. He was going to tell the public. It's a funny thing to be saying as you're dying, and we confirm everything. He was chief of security at the Air Force's most secure intelligence division, Special Operations Division. My source at NASA said it was falsified by the United States Air Force working with the CIA. We have one of the people on a list. This guy is chief of security of the most secure Air Force base, kept as a souvenir the list that President Johnson gave him and said only these 15 people are allowed in to eyewitness the fake moon landing being filmed a year in advance. Neil Armstrong's on the list. Buzz Aldrin is on the list. Werner von Braun is on the list. You have, James Van Allen of the radiation belt discovery, who said there were 100 times a lethal dose and then recanted. We have von Braun, who said you cannot go to the moon in one rocket, recanting, because they, made him do so. Mm-hmm. Just like you have certain people saying this is a conspiracy, they put pressure on him and then they recant, right? Pierre Salinger, isn't he a French guy? Sounds French to me.
Yeah.
That flight about 25 years ago that blew up off of New York, where we had 100, 200 people say a missile went up from a Navy ship and blew it up. He said, one day I'll stake my entire reputation as a journalist and the press secretary for President Kennedy that I'm 100% certain a Navy missile blew up that commercial airliner by accident. The very next day, he says, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I wonder what pressure they put on him to do that.
We hear this. There's a video clip where we can hear Buzz Aldrin saying to a young little girl who came, I think, for an autograph, we didn't go to the moon. Can you, to me, it is quite revealing. It's like Buzz Aldrin saying that they didn't go to the moon. What do you think about this clip?
Well, he slipped up. He may be drinking. He may be getting a little bit, what's the proper word? More relaxed mentally in his old age. And why can't we go to the moon? The little girl asked, and he says, well, because we didn't. And if we didn't, then it's good to know why we didn't. Well, I know somebody who met him at a party in LA with all these celebrities there, and he was very drunk. He came early, and by the time my friend talked to him, he was bombed out of his mind. And he says, we didn't go to the moon.
That's so he openly says it to random people.
What's
so
that?
A lot of people would say he's a drunk man now. He seems to have a problem with alcohol. So I guess a lot of people would say, well, he doesn't know what he's saying, or but especially
well, the
in
opposite
party,
is true. Actually, the opposite would be true logically and scientifically and psychologically. Alcohol is very similar to truth serum. What happens? Their inhibitions go down. The real them comes out, right? And their real violence or real promiscuity or real truth comes out. And that's what happened. People can make all the excuses in the world, as you know. The guy said we didn't go. Oh, but he didn't really mean that. Okay, whatever.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to believe that he would say that to random strangers in a party. But at the same time, also, I would wonder why, if you accomplish one of the greatest accomplishments in human history, why would you be an alcoholic in your later days? It's hard to understand. That clip to me was quite shocking because you really can hear him say that, and it's not computer generated. It's a real clip. I want to talk about Stanley Kubrick. In the moon landing theory, we hear a lot. Stanley Kubrick admitted that he did do the film. It was part of a mockumentary. Can you tell us more about this?
Well, it's irrelevant who faked the moon landing. There's a fake video out there of some guy pretending to be Kubrick saying he faked the moon landing. But then again, he refers to me being punched by Buzz Aldrin, which happened in 2002, and Kubrick died in 1999. So I don't know how they were able to resurrect him. I hope they can do the same for me someday. So it doesn't matter who faked it. He would have been my choice. There are suspicions that he had NASA connections, and he hinted that the moon landings are fake at least twice in two motion pictures, very specifically. So he would have been my choice, and who knows? It doesn't matter. What matters is they did fake it. That's what matters. And what matters more for people to realize, if I'm correct, and I wish I wasn't, but if the biggest fan of the moon mission can admit that he was wrong and they did, sadly, really did fake it. That's me. What we have here is that one of the greatest events in human history isn't putting a man on the moon. One of the greatest events in human history, and actually more profound than if they had actually gone, is the faking of the moon mission. So one of the greatest events and more profound is the fact that they did fake it. The most powerful nation on earth deceived their own people, murdered them, embezzled from them, and to this day, those people and their ilk are still in power. And then you have naive victims of the deception, have the Stockholm syndrome, where they're defending the people deceiving them, robbing them, and murdering their relatives. You see?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's more profound than if they had actually gone, and that's a fact. So we have one of the greatest truths in the world historically. The faking of the moon landing is not known, like a cure for cancer. How can we fix the brakes on your car if we don't know they're broken? You see that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if we continue along this path, these people are just emboldened to continuing to lie, steal, and murder us. So they need to be stopped. And the way to stop them is by telling the truth about it, wiping the slate clean.
I agree. I'm all about truth. I would like to know what's your motivation, because it's been a journey. And I think, well, even, you know, the thing that we read on your book is a filmmaker on the CIA hit list. So it endangered your life. So I'd like to know why you are still coming, you know, on podcasts, talking about it, writing books. What's your motivation?
Well, basically what I just said, that we have this historic truth that is not known to mankind. Again, my journey was believing more than the average person that they were real. How many people listening to me had a shrine of 15 Apollo 11 pictures on their wall that followed them from house to house to house as they moved throughout their life? I did. Mm-hmm. And when you realize that they did fake the moon landing, it's a profound revelation. And it's a truth that's being withheld, like I said, for a cure for cancer. It's important historically. When I was first asked to make this movie by a source at NASA who told me it was fake, he was there for 6 years during the Apollo program. He had high security clearance. He read a Von Braun memo to the Pentagon saying they can't go to the moon. It's not going to happen. You know, when that person told me, he said, "You're a filmmaker, do a documentary about this." Well, I turned down the project because I first thought about it for 6 months. The shadows intersecting, the weird behavior of the astronauts, the Soviets being more advanced and not being able to go to the moon today, technology being greater in the past. Something doesn't smell right about this. I turned it down. I said, "Look, I want to have a wife and family someday. Why should I risk my life for what Nixon did?" And then 5 years go by and I develop a conviction about right and wrong. You could call it the spiritual battle, good and evil, judgment for all of mankind coming when we die. And I realized I'm going to die anyway, right? And this is a truth worth dying for. And who knew that I would actually risk my life? One of the clips in my film, Astronauts Gone Wild, that has the punch and all that, you can see that for free at my website, is when we accidentally left a hot microphone wireless inside an Apollo astronaut's home after we showed him the fake footage of them faking being halfway to the moon, where the guy turns beet red, starts cursing, kicks me from behind to get out of his house because I just proved that he was a fraud. Well, my camera guy is so alarmed that he forgets to hit stop record on the camera, which is recording the audio of the wireless mic inside his house with the door closed. And when the transcript is done 3 months later, the secretary is calling me up saying, Bart, do you know what they're talking about in their house before you turned and picked up your expensive microphone? I'm like, I don't know what. She says, they're talking about calling the CIA to have you killed. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty funny. She says, no, Bart, they're talking about calling the CIA to have you killed. And I'm like, that's pretty funny. She says, Bart, you're not listening to me. They're talking about calling the CIA to have you killed. And sure enough, you want to call the CIA and have them whacked. Now, if I'm some silly person who thinks they faked the moon landing at Cannon Air Force Base, why would the CIA care? Why would the sun?
It's the sun that says that, though. So I wonder, why would the sun say that? Maybe he just assumed that, you know, oh, my dad works for the CIA, so they probably can do anything. But I'm not sure if he actually knows what he's talking about. He's not working for the CIA, does he?
Well, why would an Apollo astronaut have the CIA in his Rolodex? Why would an Apollo mission have any involvement with the CIA? It would only have involvement with geology and aerospace. Wouldn't have anything to do with the CIA if they really went. But if they faked it, it would very much involve the CIA. And apparently his son is familiar with his father's connections, including assassination privileges against people they don't like. You know, oddly enough and sadly enough, the ancient scriptures say if a curse is given to someone who doesn't deserve it, it falls back on the person who gave it. The son died a few years later of cancer at the age of 26.
Ooh, that's young. Wow. That said, you ask a lot of astronauts to put their hand on the Bible and swear that they did go to the moon. And it's interesting because some people don't really believe in the Bible, just like one astronaut actually said to you. He said, to me, it's just a textbook. And, you know, so he just swore on it, but he doesn't believe in the Bible. But to you, I guess you just said your motivation was, you know, somehow related with your spiritual beliefs. Did you hope that there would be one astronaut that would have an epiphany and would decide to admit that they didn't go? Was this your goal when you were asking them to swear on the Bible?
No, I didn't have a goal. It's like you have two substances, the Apollo astronauts and a reel of fake footage of them faking being part of the mission. Let's put the two together and see what happens. So you're in a chemistry lab. You have these two chemicals. Hey, let's just see what happens when you put them together. I had no idea what would happen, but I thought it's worth giving it a try. And so in my interview with Buzz Aldrin, when I show him the tape, this is before the Bible, and you can see this at Sabrell.com, Astronauts Gone Wild. He admits twice on camera that I'm correct. First, he says he was just a passenger. Talked to the administrator of NASA that he and Neil Armstrong were passengers, not pilots, passengers, meaning they orbited the moon for 8 days, which is all they can do 55 years later. And then he says, oh, and this makes you a real famous person for having discovered this. What an ego you must have to want to become a famous journalist by proving the moon landings are fake. Well, how can I become famous if I'm wrong? And then when he realized he made two admissions that I was correct, he threatened to sue me if I showed those admissions to anybody, which we showed them at my website in the film. And then later, I came up with the idea of asking them to swear on the Bible to see what their reaction would be. And as you pointed out, the atheists swore on the Bible and the ones who believed in God refused to do so. Because Buzz and I had many private conversations, not on camera, he told me plainly that he believes in God and that that was why he did not swear on the Bible. You see?
Really?
Now, if I really walked on the moon and someone thought otherwise, I would find that hysterically funny. Wouldn't you? Right. I mean, I walked on the moon. It's obvious. We all did it. Here's all the technical proof that we did it, although they destroyed that. And you think I didn't? Are you okay? Sure, I'll swear on a Bible if that'll help you. Would two Bibles be better or three? But he reacted as though I walked up to him in front of his wife and said, oh, your mistress says hello. You see, a sword with no point causes no injury. Mm-hmm. He reacted because it was the truth. Otherwise, it'd be throwing a feather at him. Why would he care?
Right, right. He punched you quite hard. That seemed to be a quite harsh, but you were annoying, to be fair. Did you expect that?
But you have to look at both sides. Okay, he's a traitor. His actions, his cowardice, his greed, his love of glory for something he didn't do led to the death of many of his colleagues and friends he had dinner with. They died. His friends, I'm sure he hung out with Gus Grissom, had dinner with him, had picnics with him, their children played together. And because he faked the moon landing, they were killed. So he's complicit. That's an accessory to murder. That's who Buzz Aldrin is, right? Mm-hmm. So I have a right as a journalist to get the truth out for the safety of the citizens who are being murdered because of his actions, right? I don't find that annoying. I find that maybe a good thing, right?
Right. Well, I understand that at this moment he didn't tell you because I think the natural reaction of people is just to say, oh my God, I feel annoyed, please, and push you away. So at that, I could understand, but I agree with you. If he did lie, I would hope that even if you say that he told you he believes in God, I would expect him, especially, I think he's 94 now. So, you know, at the end of his life, I would hope that he would admit it. You know, are you scared for your life at this point? Why won't you just go ahead and say the truth? What's the danger in revealing the truth for him? I don't even can think of one.
Well, I can think of a couple. And the number one reason why he isn't doing it isn't actually a danger exactly. First of all, if there was just one person who faked going to the moon, one person by themselves went to the moon one time, then they might have told the truth by now. But they'd be ruining the reputations of the deceased and the Apollo astronauts who are still alive, who claim mm-hmm. they went to the moon, who have CEO positions, token positions, making millions of dollars by claiming they walked on the moon. Plus, he'd be guilty of fraud for all the paperclips and coins and whatever he keeps pulling out of his closet, claiming they were with him on the moon and selling at Sotheby's auction. That's fraud right there. Mm-hmm. Then he could be considered to be the person who disgraced America. Well, he disgraced America by faking the moon landing, not by mm-hmm. revealing the truth about it. I like the guy. I have no animosity against him. I pray for him. We've had private conversations. He's a likable guy. I wish him well. I hope someday he does confess that the truth, comes out, and he'd be my new hero all over again. But the number one reason that he doesn't is the same reason why he punched me. I called mm-hmm. him a liar for obvious reasons, a coward, and a thief. A thief because we paid him $2,000 an hour to give a testimony about something he didn't do. That's stealing the money. But the one that provoked him was coward. Ooh, he didn't like being called a coward. Now, of course, I've been a coward. I've been a liar. I've been a thief. I try to repent daily of those bad character traits. What is he afraid of? He is afraid, cowardly, about looking bad. It's his vanity. It's like you have these celebrities. I've heard of two, Lucille Ball, and I forgot the other guy, very famous elderly man, been in a lot of movies in the 50s. They didn't want anyone to see them when they were dying because they didn't have makeup on and they looked old and wrinkly, and they didn't want anybody to see them that way. Burt Lancaster, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the woman who played Aunt Bee on Andy Griffiths was the same way. They were so into their appearance. They didn't want anyone to see them. And he's so into his appearance, his reputation, his celebrity, that he's afraid to look bad. He doesn't realize that most people would fall in love with him all over again, that he would become the new hero of America for telling the truth. He would be mm-hmm. my hero. I would promote that anybody involved in the moon landing fraud, JFK or anything similar, 9/11, whatever, even something recent, that they be given complete amnesty, a pardon, whatever you want to call it, for telling the truth. Anyone who tells the truth, including homicide, that was funded by the federal government should be pardoned. That should be policy until all the darkness comes out. He has that opportunity. That could happen. In fact, one astronaut tried to tell the truth and was murdered right beforehand. James Irwin, in August of 1991, tracked down the leading investigator at that time before I hit the scene, Bill Casey. And he called him up and said, look, you wrote a book called We Didn't Go to the Moon. We need to talk about it because I just become a born again Christian and I want to set the record straight. He says, I'm concerned for my safety. Call me at this number 3 days from now. 3 days later, coincidentally, the astronaut had a fatal heart attack. So Buzz Aldrin's life is in danger as long as he lies, because the way to save his life and the life of other people and the life of our nation having integrity is to tell the truth. Neil Armstrong could have, at the press conference where they look like they're at the funeral of their mother for a full hour, people say they're convinced from that. They look like they're at the funeral of their mother at the press conference rather than the winning locker room of the Super Bowl, which should be their expression.
Yes.
He could have said right there in front of the media, in front of the world, look, we didn't go to the moon. They threatened to kill me and my family. And I just want you to know, can someone call the local police and have them surround my house to protect? And what would all the bad guys do? You think they would kill him at that point or kill his family? Just the opposite. They would run like cockroaches to the shadows. Right. So the truth sets you free. It protects you.
once the truth is out, but like you just said, this astronaut who was trying to get the truth out didn't manage to do so because he got killed before that. So this is also a fact, as you just said previously, that the CIA is tapping phones and, you know, keeping people under surveillance. So it becomes, I guess, really difficult for them to come forward and speak.
Well, yeah, let me tell you what happened about 2 years ago. Okay, this book that I wrote that goes into all this enormous detail, and let me answer that question I failed to do in my rambling. I put all these things about my adventures with the CIA in the book for the historical record. Previously, before the book, I never talked about it because I thought, look, it's already hard to believe that they actually did fake the moon landing. I don't want to go into X-Files, CIA abductions, true serum drugging, one difficult story to believe at a time. However, seeing how this is, you know, for history, I thought I would put it in there. Well, this book took 15 years to write, 2 years to edit. And when I'm confirming the details of Cyrus Eugene Akers, the chief of security who saw them film the fake moon landing at Cannon Air Force Base in 1968, who murdered somebody to cover it up, I'm confirming the details with his son 2 years ago. A few days later, his house is broken into when he's not there. They know his password of his security system with cameras. It disabled everything. Took all the information about his dad's service in Cannon Air Force Base. And a few days later, showed up face to face and threatened to kill him and his family if he ever spoke to me again about his father's participation in the moon landing fraud. Wow. Well, an investigation by the White House started a few days later, and the United States Senate Intelligence Committee and the FBI, because of my book, because of Cyrus Eugene Akers' son being threatened by rogue agents in the government who were supposed to protect people rather than kill them for exposing their crimes. Why is everything redacted? I don't understand this. This company that claims that this medicine is safe and effective wants 75 years to release the documents that prove it. If it was safe and effective, here they are. We'll give them all to you now. And then they said, well, we'll release so many pages now and so many pages later. Well, everything is digital. How many seconds does it take to hit send? 2, right? And then it's 80, 90% of it is redacted. If it's safe and effective, why is it redacted? Yeah. We're paying.
It's to hide.
We're paying the FDA. We're paying the FDA for these documents. It's our documents. They belong to us. We pay for them. We pay your salary. Your electricity is paid by us. Give us our documents. No, you can't have them. That's our government. And we let that go on. We need to tear this down and build something else.
Agreed. I absolutely agree on that. One last question. I thought it was interesting in your testimony that you just talked about. You talk about agents that seem to be military that you call the good guys, as if within the government there are agents that are fighting those bad guys that sort of kidnapped you. Can you tell us more about that? I found it quite interesting.
Yeah, there are two chapters in my book. A funny thing happened on the way to CNN, and then a funny thing happened on the way to church, because my film is called The Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. Where in the middle of this extravagant adventure, I was, you know, kind of saved, as it were, by two people who appear to be United States Marines intelligence officers, medical personnel, something, who were checking on my physical well-being for being illegally drugged and kidnapped. Mm-hmm. And so my interpretation of that is that there is a civil war going on in the government, who knows for how long, maybe since the end of the American Civil War, maybe since the Federal Reserve Act, maybe since JFK, I don't know. But it, apparently by gentlemen's agreement, they keep this below the radar. It's not in the media, but you literally have spy versus spy. I mean, 3,000 architects and engineers, 3,000 are risking their livelihood, their ability to pay their rent and mortgages by attesting engineers, architects. It's mechanically impossible for a pinhole airplane to go in and out of a steel grid skyscraper and cause its collapse. All you have to do is look at the Oklahoma City bombing photograph where half the building's blown away and it still stands. So why would a pinhole go in and out? So how can you find, if an airplane is going into that, how can you find the passport conveniently on the ground of one of the perpetrators. Oh, how convenient is that? Just like they find a bullet on Kennedy's stretcher that wasn't even fired into a bag of sand. You know, mm-hmm. has no, those things are made out of soft
pristine
lead.
Condition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, come on. So what does this mean? It means the federal government did 9/11. Half the population is so hard to understand. Half the population isn't even aware of a third skyscraper, 47 stories tall, collapsing the same day from alleged debris furniture fire. I mean, come on. It wasn't hit by an airplane. That's proof that the whole thing is a cover-up. So what does that mean? It means the federal government did it. The federal government killed Kennedy. The federal government tricked Congress into passing the Gulf of Tonkin resolution to start a war. They lied to Congress. I thought we had representation. Not if they're being lied to by the CIA. CIA is lying to presidents to get them to do this or do that. They admit on camera, William Benny, we spy on the Supreme Court justices' private cell phone conversations to get dirt on them, to blackmail them, to vote the way we tell them. So surely there must be good people in the government who know this is going on, who say this is wrong. Some people were following me, good guys, and went in there to make sure I was okay. And in fact, maybe I shouldn't say, and I don't even remember if I put this in the book, but when I found this list of the 15 people who were there at Cannon Air Force Base, some of these good guys contacted me through normal or unnormal channels and asked me to call two people on the list and tell them that I had their names on the list. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You want me to do this before I publish the book? You want me to slit my own throat? You want me to tell two people on the list before I publish the book that I have their name on the list at Cannon Air Force Base? Are you serious? They said, trust us. We've always had your back. Have we ever let you down? I said, well, no. So I did it. I called one person who I, you know, knew who it was. The other person I never heard of, but I called them and let them know. And it was after
what a few did you days let later, them know exactly?
I told them I have their name on a list that they were there during the fake moon landing. What have you got to say for yourself?
Okay.
You know what I mean? And so it was 2 days after that that my source's house was broken into, and days after that that he was threatened. So basically, my interpretation of this is the good guys baited the spies to break into the guy's house so that they could know who's doing what on the bad team. Now they know the name and location of these agents, where they live, where they work, who their bosses are, and if the good guys are doing this, if the bad guys are monitoring everyone's phone conversations, the good guys are probably monitoring the phone conversations of the bad guys, right? Mm-hmm. Something's going on here. And I don't know what it is, but
yeah.
I hope and pray the good guys win. And again, the bad guys unify the parties, Republican and Democrat, for their ungodly schemes through telling big lies about war, terrorism, whatever. So the good guys can unite both parties by telling a big truth. And there's no bigger truth than letting the public know they were duped about the moon landing fraud. It killed right. the fewest number of people compared to the JFK witness list, but it will anger the public more than anything else to demand reform. And I pray and hope whoever is sworn in on the 20th that that's what they do immediately before it's too late.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's a good way to end this conversation. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate that you took the time. I think there is a lot of information in English, but not that much in French. So I will work on the translation and I will send you the link when it's over. Thank you so much for your time, Bart. And go to Sobral.com for all the clips that we discussed.
All right. Take care.
Thank you. Take care.